Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Did you ever think about how you get from one place to another? It turns out that most of us humans use two different navigational strategies. One of them is the stimulus-response strategy. We pay attention to certain cues, primarily visual cues, when we go from one place to another. For example, several years ago, my son and his wife moved to a suburban area where there were lots of houses in a pretty small space. And as is typical for these developments, the street names weren't particularly descriptive. Like a lot of people who visited them, my mental map of how to get there included making a right turn at a god-awful fluorescent pink house. I did this so automatically, I didn't even think about it. Well, I didn't think about it until the day I went to visit them, and the owners of the god-awful pink house had painted it. For a brief instant, I had no idea where I was. I had to slow down, and I had to look around for other stimuli that would tell me where to turn. So that's stimulus-response navigation. Another form of navigation we use is spatial navigation. And with spatial navigation, we have a mental map that tells us the relationship between different objects. Where I use a spatial map is when I look at my do list of errands. I may have written my list as the need arose so that it says bank, post office, get gas, grocery store, hardware store. But before I actually start out, I think about where all of those businesses are located, and then I plot a course that will enable me to go to them with the least amount of backtracking and the most efficient use of my time. So those are our two forms of navigation. Now you might be saying to yourself about now, well, thank God for GPS, which some predict will soon be a feature on all new cars and will be in all cell phones and who knows what other electronic devices. So if we're all going to have GPS, who cares? Who cares whether we can form cognitive maps? Well, there are some neurologists, neurophysiologists, and neuropsychologists who are giving this a great deal of thought for several reasons. One, the ability to know where we are and where we're going is deeply embedded. Because of this, it's a use-it-or-lose-it phenomenon. If we use it a lot, that part of the brain gets bigger. If we don't use it, that part of the brain doesn't fire. So that's one consideration. But in terms of our relationship with animals, the second concern about GPS is to me the more pressing one. And that is that there is a tendency for some people to perceive the virtual reality on the screen as more real than the real reality. So, for example, if the GPS tells them to turn right, they will turn right even though looking out the window of their car, they can see that that right turn is 100% wrong. So on one hand, we have our companion animal species who are able to navigate and whose sense of personal space, shared space, private space, and communal space is determined by a wide variety of senses. Smell, vision, scent, electromagnetic. And then here we humans are, staring at a little screen with basically very simplistic line drawings and a computerized voice describing our reality for us. Did you ever think what goes through your dog's mind when you're doing that? Given that our animals normally live in a reality that we would define as in the realm of the paranormal and in the realm of the extrasensory perception compared to ours, can you imagine what it must be like for a dog or a cat to live with a person who spends most of their time in a virtual reality? It's an interesting thought. Do they send off telepathic letters to whatever the canine equivalent of Dear Abby is and express their concerns? How can I get my owner back? How can I get my owner back in at least her reality? Can you imagine what it must be like for these animals trying to communicate with someone who lives in a virtual reality? Lots of interesting questions. And as always, the issue isn't whether we do it or whether we don't, but what are the consequences of it? And are we mindful of the consequences? Can we accept the consequences? If we can accept the consequences, are we willing to change?
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.